Good morning, Redeemer. Good morning. Christ, peace, and blessings to all as we're getting back into the swing of school and the fall. Almost all of you have started back into the school grind if you are a student or you have students, or if you haven't, you're just about to. I hope with you and I mourn with you in that as an empty nester. I'm still sticking with summer. It's still calendar summer, so we'll stick with that. I've enjoyed a lot of summer fruit, even this past week, cherries and grapes and peaches and watermelon. It's awesome. We've been getting better fruit here. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that lasts through summer and far beyond, the fruit that the Holy Spirit brings to us as He presses Christ onto us. What are the fruits of the Spirit? They are the ways Jesus acts and moves toward us. As we experience the love of God through Jesus, we grow in love to God and to our neighbor. As we experience the peace of God in Jesus, peace that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that can be experienced in the most difficult and dark of places, then we can share that peace with others. We can become people sowing peace, agents of Christ's peace in the world. As we are knowing the goodness of God in Christ, of His purpose to do good to us, from the Father in Christ to never turn His face away from doing good to us, but to rejoice to do us good with all His heart and soul, then we become people sharing that goodness with those around us. We take in the grace by the Spirit, and we become what we're experiencing in Jesus. So that's true today. Our hope is, as we know the gentleness of God in Christ, that we become gentle people ourselves. We'll do as we've done throughout this series, read from Galatians 5, the list of the Spirit, and then we'll go to Matthew's gospel and to a passage that emphasizes how Christ is gentle toward us. So hear the word of the Lord, Galatians 5, Matthew 11. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Oh, dear Father, King David of old spoke of your gentleness making him great. Forgive us, Father, for the ways we seek to be great without being gentle. Lord Jesus, as you describe your own heart toward us, you tell us that you are gentle and lowly of heart. Gentleness is your heart, Christ, and your Father's too. In gentleness, you invite us to have our lives completely bound up together with yours, yoked together with yours, so that the more we come to you, the more we find you gentle with us. You call us, Lord, to deal gently with each other, to restore each other with gentleness when we may struggle or wander in our faith. Holy Spirit, may we know the gentleness of God and begin to live it, to share it with those around us, so they may taste and see the loving kindness, the goodness, the gentleness of our God. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My father, James Paul Hahn Sr., was an amazing man. He was an attorney. He was the first board-certified attorney in Central Florida in the 1970s. He worked with Publix supermarkets as a chief real estate counsel to help them expand all over Florida and then into the Southeast. He made a partnership with a man in another part of the world at the bust time of Florida real estate in the 1970s. This man came into my dad's office literally from across the world and said, I have researched real estate in this part of the world, and I have discovered this is a good time to invest. And my dad said, yes, yes, it is. And he said, I've also researched and discovered that you have the reputation for being the most honest man in real estate in Central Florida, and I'd like to work with you. That's the kind of man my dad was. He served on the ethics committee and chaired it for the Florida Bar Association. He worked with the Florida Baptist Children's Homes for decades in helping grow that ministry to promote adoption and blessing for children all throughout the state of Florida. He was a part as a lay leader of a church plant the year I was born. I was born into a church plant and served that church all the rest of his life. I love my dad. If you ask me, Paul, what's one thing that you most remember about your dad, I would say gentleness. He was so tender and kind. I rarely, if ever, remember him raising his voice with me, being angry with me. He was so tender and gentle. I remember when I was very little, if I hurt myself, if I had a cut or a bruise or even a broken bone, he would come and put his hand on me and say, let me put my healing hand on you, just with a gentleness and a love, and he would pray with me. Just a dear man, so gentle. If there's one thing that we would remember about Jesus, among all the ways that he shows God to us, of all the wonders and the majesty of who he is that he is gentle. Dane Ortlund, in his beautiful book, Gentle and Lowly, says, pulling from this passage right here in Matthew 11, he says, you know, here's the one place Jesus says exactly what his heart is, like describes his own heart, the very heart of God for all of humanity. I am gentle and lowly of heart. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's who he is. It's who his Father is, right? That we gave you in the reflection section, that passage from Psalm 18, I put it into my prayers. We got started where David says, oh Lord, your gentleness has made me great. That God being gentle with David was huge for David to become all that he would become as a shepherd king. Think of Isaiah's prophecy. At the end of it, as he's laid out all this hope in the middle of a very broken space for Israel and Judah, the hope of one who's coming to make it all new, to forgive and to bless and to renew all things, this servant of the Lord who would be Jesus, right? At the end of that prophecy, Isaiah 66, God describes himself as a tender mother, gentle and compassionate with us as his people. The heart of Jesus, the heart of the Father, is gentleness. That's why the Spirit is a spirit of gentleness, bringing this grace to us, pressing this love and grace and gentleness of the Father and the Son down into our lives. And so that's our hope this morning, that as we experience the gentleness of God in Christ, as the Spirit brings that to us, we grow in becoming gentle people ourselves. That fruit of gentleness grows in us. Now, the way Jesus says that's going to happen here in this very passage in Matthew, right, is that as we are yoked together with him, as we are yoked with him. That's a funny kind of word. I remember my first remembrances of hearing yoked was, of playing baseball growing up in the 70s and 80s. And if you hit a ball right on the nose, if you hit a ball really hard, people would say, man, you yoked that ball, right? There's better than that slang, right? It doesn't always have to be about baseball, I know. Okay. So, you know, agriculturally, right, there's a yoking, right, of oxen or mules or horses being yoked together to be in harness, to be in sync, to be going down the right paths, plowing the right fields, bearing the right kind of fruit. That's in mind very clearly for Jesus here. But more than that, right, is he's sort of saying, you've heard rabbis, people around, you've heard about rabbis putting a mantle on their students. I want you to take my mantle, my yoke on you. I don't come so much to have myself yoked to you. You're going to be yoked to me, and I'm going to take you wherever I lead, and I'm going to press your life together with mine, and my gentleness would be there, and it will be with you, and it will flow through you. So let's just talk about that in a couple of ways today. As we are yoked together with Jesus, what will gentleness be like in our lives? First of all, as we experience this gentle love of God in Christ, lowliness will grow together with our gentleness. You've heard it already. What's the heart of Jesus? This twinning, right? I am gentle and lowly of heart. Jesus, his whole movement, right, is like down, coming from the highest of heavens, coming from the right hand of the Father, coming down, taking on human flesh, humbling himself in every way, even to the point of death, death on a cross. He humbles himself continually, still even his resurrection, right? And in his ascension, he is humbled by continuing to be fully man as well as fully God. The eternal Spirit of God is now inside of a human body. He humbles himself even now and for eternity in that way for us. Jesus has this kind of loneliness even as he brings the gentleness of God to us. We can take that in. We can revel in that. And we can be willing to be lowly ourselves. You know, what's the opposite sort of loneliness or meekness in the Bible? It's not just pride, right? It's defensiveness. It's a demanding that my way be honored, that my name always be understood, that my ways be the way that are accepted and adopted and that flourish, right? I had a friend recently. He lives nearby in another town. We've been friends for 30 plus years. And he said, I want to get together with breakfast with you. So we have kind of a halfway meeting spot, and we met recently about a month ago, and we had a good time together catching up. He said, Paul, I've had something on my heart that I want to share with you, and that is I've just experienced you lately in our phone calls and our times together, and as I've reflected, I really think this has been true maybe all along the way, is that you're very defensive. You're very much a person that sort of wants your way, and you sort of put up these barriers, and you're very defensive. I got defensive about him calling me defensive. That breakfast kind of went off the rails a little bit. We pulled it back, and God blessed us, and I was able to take that. And I think he was right. I really do think he was right. Defensiveness is not a soil in which gentleness can grow. When you're defensive, when you're demanding your own honor and power, when you're trying to make yourself high and right, there's no soil for gentleness to grow in. But when we are lowly, when we are meek the way Jesus is meek, when we entrust our reputation and our being defended to God our Father, who is our ultimate defender, gentleness can flourish and grow and be shared. There's another sense in which Jesus is gentle and lowly, and that is that he moves toward people in the lowest places. Not only is he humble and meek in his person, right? He's always moving down, you know, not just from the heavens in humility down to us, but always to people on the margins, always to the most hurting people, always to the people who recognize they are terribly broken and sinful. Jesus moves this way. You know, the old saying is, you can tell who your friends are when you are going to the bottom or when you are at bottom. Jesus is the ultimate friend to us when we're hitting bottom. And it's not just when we first come to him, right? It's not just when he calls us like he does, you know, many people in the Gospels out of very broken and sinful spaces, right? Of all kinds of notorious sin even. Very public sin. He keeps calling us. He keeps coming to us. and moving toward us. When we go back to brokenness, when we go back to our patterns of sin. Think about Peter after Easter, how Jesus comes to him. Peter is the one who is so bold and say, I will never leave you, even if everybody else does. And there's Peter radically denying Jesus all around his passion. And Peter doesn't know what to do. He's overcome with the guilt and the shame of this. He says, let's all just go fishing. They've even met Jesus several times in the resurrection, but Peter's just stuck, right? And so here comes Jesus after they've caught nothing all night, gives them a miraculous catch of fish, bids Peter and the rest to come to shore, makes them breakfast, and then says, Peter, let's take a walk. And I want to let you begin, Peter, to write over your failures. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. Damn you all. I don't know the man. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Yes, you know that I love you. That's what he's going to do for you. See, wherever you are today, whatever you've brought in here that shames you, that makes you think, God really is done with me, maybe. Jesus, right now, through these words, right now by his Spirit, working through the foolishness of a preacher standing up here, is moving toward you to say, I know you're in a low place, but I love you, and I forgive you, and I welcome you, and I'm here to lift you up. There's one more way that gentleness and loneliness are going to come for us. It even takes us sort of beyond where Jesus is, right? We know that he's lowly of character. We know that he moves toward the lowly. And as we get him moving toward us, we can move toward people in very broken places around us, right? But also a loneliness is here as we realize, what does Jesus say? What does he sort of pray before he begins his teaching with all this group around him? Father, thank you that the way you do things is not to reveal your kingdom to the wise and to everybody who thinks they're full of understanding, but you reveal it to little children. We need the loneliness of coming to Jesus and living with Jesus like little children, dependent, humble, in awe of him, in wonder at who he is and what he provides us, curious, ready to be taught, not thinking that we know it, but that we must learn from him like little children everything. And that's how gentleness will come, when you think you know it. And a lot of us Presbyterians live in a lot of space like we know it all about God and the world and everything else. But when the grace of the Spirit comes and humbles us and makes us realize again, we know so very little. Even in new heavens and new earth, you're going to know everything that your heart yearns to know about God, but you're still not going to know everything about God. He's still infinitely above you as God, and you're still going to be a creature redeemed and renewed and kept forever in eternity future. But we'll know even there so little about God. So live as little children. And when you do, then gentleness can flow. And we can be humble and gentle toward everyone around us. I just want to leave you with, before we leave this first point, where does God, as this fall begins, as this sort of cycle of life and ministry, you know, the semesters ahead of you, where does God want you to be more childlike? Where is the Spirit just saying to you, come to Jesus like a little child. Be curious and delighted in him. Gentleness and loneliness are going to go together. Secondly, and lastly here, as we're getting the gentleness of God in Christ, what else is going to be true? That as we're experiencing the gentleness of Jesus, we're going to find rest for our souls and ease of our burdens, and we'll become people sharing that with others. What does Jesus say? I'm gentle and lowly in heart, so you can yoke yourself with me. you can know that I'm going to continue to be tender and merciful and gentle with you. And you know what? That yoking, we're going to plow places. We're going to work together. We're going to, you know, plow the fields of my kingdom out there. But all the while, I'm going to give rest for your soul. I'm going to ease your burdens, your guilt and your shame and your worries and your anxiety. I'm here to take those. And I want to give you rest and peace. How are you at easing other people's burdens, at really pointing them to Jesus so they get rest? Or do you, in your sort of efforts to walk with Jesus, put up barriers for people, make the bar too high for them? I've been so guilty of that. I just think about a couple of spaces in my life where I've just been very bad at being gentle like this, of offering rest and the ease of burden. I've been way more like a Pharisee where Jesus says they're tying up people's burdens and putting them on their backs, right? I think about when I was in college, my whole spirituality kind of growing up and that I brought to college was, you know, you're a Christian because you go to church every Sunday, because you don't cuss and swear, because you don't go all the way in a sexual relationship, and because you don't smoke or drink. That was my functional spirituality. And so what I had to offer people was only a bar to sort of reach up and try to grab, and then maybe you could find some sense of peace and rest. I'll never forget, you know, my roommates threw a party in college. I was on the baseball team, and we would train during the wintertime inside. I went to school in the Northeast, and we would train inside, and sometimes you would have to share this facility with other teams, the track and field team, the lacrosse team, the, you know, softball team, all the other spring sports. And so sometimes we'd practice way late in the night. And so this was 10 o'clock to midnight on a Friday night. I go to that practice. I come back, and my roommates are throwing this raging party. I knew they were going to do it, but I come in, and our room is just full. There's a little suite area, and then there's two bedrooms where you shared with a roommate there. And the roommate I shared the room with was looked at me right when I walked in and just kind of scowled at me and laughed at me from across. And he just started cussing me out from across the room, just cussing me out. And he just said, "You just get out of here. You get out of here." And I walked out into the night, and I knew it was going to be a long time before bed. And I walked a lot of the campus, a lot of the cold. And I thought, "Lord, why is that his response to me? Why? Yeah, maybe I'm making him feel guilty in some way, but have I offered him any rest and peace? Like, is there any easing of his burdens? Have I really ever really offered him you, Jesus? Or just a list of rules to do?" And I was so broken. I didn't know about Matthew 11 then. I couldn't have quoted it. But God was taking me there and saying, "Paul, come to me and realize how you come to me and offer others that path." That's when it was around 20. When it was around 30, this one's really bad. I got a lot of comments on this one afterward. You can talk with me if you like, or talk with Fran. This is terrible. I'm 30 years old. I'm a freshly ordained pastor. I'm working with campus ministry at Auburn University with RUF, and I'm going to speak at a conference over the weekend. So Fran's at home with our two little girls, pregnant with a third, and you know, here we are. And so I do the ministry over the weekend at this conference and finish with an evening service at night. And so this is, you know, 1993 or whatever, and there's no cell phones. And I stop and call and check in on the way home at a payphone, dial my credit card number in, and get on the phone with her. "How are you, honey?" "Good. How did it all go?" I said, "Great. How was y'all's day?" "Hey, we had a good day. The girls and I went to church this morning, and it was great." And she shared, I think maybe Duggan was a little sick, and you know, I was just so tired from being pregnant, and we just stayed home. They got to bed early. It was great. Silence on the other end for me. And in a statement then that lives in Hahn family lore, I said, "You know, honey, that's like taking one step closer to hell." as someone said to me at the door in the back, that showed your wife's gentleness in staying with you. No gentleness from me. And Matt said to me, by the way, Paul, please tell them that is not our theology. We don't believe you're going to hell if you miss a worship service. Very true. Bad theology, worse heart. I tell you those stories to just tell you, I didn't catch it from my earthly father. I should have, in being more gentle. Gentleness does not come naturally to me. And so where do I go in that kind of space? I have to come back to the gentle love of Christ for me. Even telling that story is so painful that I did that, right? And there's plenty of others taking you all the way up to the last week or the last day. I got to come back to the gentle love of Jesus for me. That he forgives me. That I can rest in his welcome and his love. And then maybe just a little bit, I can grow in that over time. Several people said, Paul, I've experienced gentleness for you. I'm grateful to whatever extent that has. That is just the Lord doing a little bit in me. Some of you may be great at it like my dad. Some of you may be more like me. But we can all grow in being agents of offering this kind of rest and ease of souls as we experience it in Jesus. I leave you with words from Philip Melanchthon. He was Martin Luther's, in the German Reformation, Lutheran Reformation, right-hand guy. He was a wonderful administrator and leader and organizer, but he was notoriously anxious, just the ultimate kind of worry wart. And Luther was always chiding him. You know, cease trying to rule the world, Philip. Let the Lord rule the world. But Melanchthon in his writings said, you know, the passage that helped me more than any other over my anxiety is Matthew 11. Is coming back here and realizing in all my failures, in all my efforts to sort of yoke Jesus to me and my plans rather than allowing him to yoke me to himself, that Jesus is still there. He's welcoming me. He's gentling my soul. And that perhaps just allowed Philip to grow just a little bit more in that for others. Wherever you are today, Jesus wants to be gentle with you as we approach this table. He wants to say, I welcome you, I love you, I forgive you, I'm here to give you ease of burden and rest of soul. May the Spirit give us this. May he grow it in us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this good word today from your word. Thank you, Jesus, for being the gentleness of God to us in your loneliness and in your offering rest for our souls and ease of our burdens. Holy Spirit, press these gospel truths more down into us. Help us even now to eat them and drink them, but also grow it in us, Lord. Make us a bit more gentle, lowly, humble, and easing burdens and offering rest for souls in you. Hear us, O Lord. Hear us. We pray it in your name, Lord Christ. Amen.